You're listening to Marketplace Weekend, where the economy meets real life. I'm Lizzie O'Leary. Normally at the top of the show, we'd play our theme song. It's kind of jaunty, and I usually talk over it a little bit. Today, we're not doing that. Honestly, it just felt weird after a week of difficult news and emotional debate, plus a series of days when President Donald Trump was abandoned by corporate leaders over his response to the events in Charlottesville. I'm Lizzie O'Leary, and this is Marketplace Weekend, where the economy meets real life. And a lot of our show today looks at life at work in this raw political moment. So we're going to start with what you do when work meets free speech and hate speech. If you looked at the photos or videos of the white nationalist rallies in Charlottesville, you could see exactly who was carrying torches, Nazi flags, and other white supremacist paraphernalia. And those images spread across the internet, making it relatively easy to identify people and track down where they work or go to school. Some people lost their jobs, others have not. And in a country where free speech is a cornerstone value, how do we deal with this? How should we? We brought in Kerry Fields. He's a business law and ethics professor at USC's Marshall School of Business. Welcome to the show.
Thank you.
How does the First Amendment apply to the workplace? And can your employer restrict your free speech? I guess that depends kind of on where you are, right?
It does. There is a balancing of interests, protection for free speech and rights of assembly, that people also have individual rights of privacy. But those are most often observed outside the workplace. Within the workplace, you don't have the ability to have a public forum and express any idea that you wish. It's constrained in the workplace.
So what does that mean? If someone goes to an event like, you know, what we saw in Charlottesville, or let's say it's the other way around, somebody goes to a pride march, can that have repercussions on your workplace kind of position?
It can. We have to note that last week's group hatred exercise of bigotry and carrying weapons and shields and so forth went beyond a normal passive approach. Here, there were violent attacks and other things that related individual harming of individuals and a death. So this is going to cause a balance of the interest between the employee and their non-work hours and the employer's right to control the workplace, essentially obtaining efficiency and high morale among the employees and a public appreciation and respect for the company's products and services. When you have an individual who poses such a concern for the employer, most states are going to consider the employee as an at-will employee, subject to only a handful of exceptions. Among them would be, does the employee have a contract? Does the reason for the termination offend public policy? Now, what's interesting in this particular case is that there are a number of states that protect the employees' off-hours political speech activities. 42 states protect these rights when the person is a public employee, so that a public employee might well exercise political free speech and not fear dramatic disciplinary action at work. However, private employers may take a different approach because the First Amendment does not apply in its full scope in the private employment sector. So state laws and local laws would be the only remedy such an individual could look to protect their job status. So some of these employees that were involved in this activity might well be facing disciplinary or termination actions at their workplaces.
Is hate speech different? I mean, I used the passive example of going to a rally. That's one thing. But is, you know, shouting bigoted, racist things, using violence or the threat of violence, is it different?
It can be. But we need to recognize that hate speech is not an exception to the First Amendment. As shocking as that may be, the First Amendment does protect hate speech. Now, when that hate speech combines with a crime, that is, a crime is committed on another person or property is damaged because it's motivated by a person's bias, then it becomes a hate crime under state and federal law. But speech in itself, as distasteful as it may be, is still protected by the First Amendment.
So let's say you are an employee of a big company and, you know, you feel threatened by the fact that you saw your coworker on the television in Charlottesville, or, you know, make it a hypothetical, make it not Charlottesville, but somebody exercising hate speech. Is that a hostile workplace environment? Do you have the right to go to HR and say, gosh, I don't feel safe around this person?
I think in the typical case that would occur, because you would say that there's a hostile work environment. Now, it's a fact-specific determination and creates a substantial morale problem for the employer, because they have to attend to this immediately to ensure that the workforce remains safe, stable, and that their commitment to company values are maintained. There's really a series of steps that the company could entertain in that situation. By itself, is it a hostile workplace? Technically, not yet, unless that individual brings that speech or behavior into the workplace. So if it's only in his or her off hours that this activity occurs, it's a harder case to make that it becomes a hostile workplace. But the company should take a series of steps to mitigate the harm that's going to undoubtedly infuse.
I mean, I'm thinking about this week, we have seen many major CEOs distance themselves from the president. And when you think about a big company, a lot of companies, though not all, have codes of conduct. Do you expect companies to kind of rework their policies or take a look at their employee policies in the wake of this and in the wake of public outcries and public attempts to dox people who were at these events?
I certainly do. I think it's incumbent upon all companies to revisit their statement of values, their mission statements, so that their core values of integrity, respect, and appreciation of diversity in the workplace are reinforced, that they're prominently restated by someone like a CEO to all employees and the company's vendors as well. They should block all hate groups from company communications systems, be a little more diligent in having the IT department scrub the ability of any employee to access them on any equipment. And concurrent with that, the companies need to review the state and local laws to see to what extent this free speech outside the workplace is perfectly protected. New York, California, and Washington, D.C. are such examples that employees may exercise their political expression without repercussion in the workplace. And that might be revisited by each of those jurisdictions in light of recent events.
Carrie Fields is a professor of business law and ethics at the USC Marshall School of Business. Thank you very much.
Thank you.